You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dear young married couple, are you or your spouse in a profession that's prone to cheating?
Today we're going to answer that question for you, but more importantly, we're going to talk about why certain professions are prone to cheating, and even if you're not in one of those professions, how you can affair-proof your marriage.
This is actually something that we get to work one-on-one with a lot of couples that have had affairs or lapses in integrity inside their marriage, and we want to share kind of these areas to really watch out for, to how to set up some boundaries to protect your marriage.
We'll also do a relevant rabbit trail having to do with, should you have contact with your ex?
Yes.
Because that's something that comes up sometimes in relation to this topic. So here we go.
Let's jump right in.
So let's answer the question first. Which professions are prone to cheating?
And this is actually really interesting for us.
Yeah.
But we found a couple of different surveys.
What did you think it was first before we started doing the research?
Okay. So before I did the research, I thought first healthcare.
Yeah.
Because we've worked with a lot of doctors and nurses that have had affairs.
Or even just other hospital staff.
Yep. And I also thought first responders.
Yes. Yep. My first thing that came to mind was professions that travel. So, you know, obviously I thought of people in flight industry, but I also thought of people who travel for medical reasons, like travel nurses, as well as construction workers that travel, just travel people.
Travel people.
Travel people. Yeah.
So what are those stats?
Okay. So we'll start with number 7 on the list. And okay, we looked at a lot of different surveys and in research, but this one that we're going to share just was a good summary of all of it. And it aligned with a lot of what we found across the board. All right. Number 7, nightlife industry.
Okay.
So DJs, dancers, waiters, club owners, bar staff. Why do you think nightlife industry is prone to cheat?
Let's ask that after.
Okay. So we'll just go down the list.
So I want everyone to be listening. What are the threads that connect all of these industries?
Mm.
And I think that will give you a really good insight into how to really affair-proof your own marriage.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. So we'll do, you guys pay attention to the themes. Number 6, the arts, musicians, models, actors, photographers. All right. So number 5, we have the sports industry. So that's athletes. They are up there on the list. Number 4 would be financial. So
makes sense.
Bankers, analysts, corporate types. Number 3, military, and that's all branches of service. Number 2, healthcare, nurses, doctors, and any other hospital staff. And then at number 1, aviation. So pilots and the flight crew.
So a couple of themes that we talked about noticing right away is that a lot of these professions have a power dynamic, right? So doctors have perceivably power and influence mm-hmm. In the system that they're in.
Sure.
They have power over the sick people, right? So power always is a big, very alluring for a lot of people.
True. Yeah.
Power, definitely look at aviation. You're, you know, you have hundreds of people mm-hmm. really in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
So it's, and it's respected. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a power dynamic there, and they're far away. And this is the other thing. Mm-hmm. They're all far away from their contexts.
Yeah. That's the main thing I noticed with all of these. And my assumption before I looked up the stats was that it had to do with people who travel. Mm-hmm. But the reason why is because, like you said, they're out of their context. They're mm-hmm. out of their everyday life, you know, the day-to-day household responsibilities. So whether they travel or not, professions that are wrapped up in the world of their career, mm-hmm. Where the narrative that's going through their mind at all times is not the narrative of their home and family.
Right.
That's the main point, I think, that I noticed when looking through all of these. Even things like arts, nightlife, sports, like, yes, those don't travel as much. Well, sports probably do, but, you know, arts and nightlife, again, it's the narrative that's going through their mind at all times. It's the narrative of their industry or their yeah. job.
Well, it's a context of, like, arts would be freedom and openness and mm-hmm. exposure to other things outside of, you know, their very orderly, predictable mm-hmm. home life.
Correct. Yeah. The unpredictability, right?
Yeah.
Also, a lot of these professions include alcohol in some way, mm-hmm. whether that's in the social piece of it, obviously the nightlife piece, that's super obvious, but even like the traveling, I read a stat while researching this that, that when people are traveling, they drink more alcohol than usual. Hmm. And I think it was like 30% more alcohol than usual while traveling. Wow.
That's significant.
Right. And so that obviously gives them a lapse in judgment mm-hmm. and, you know, they're
well, especially too, these people are traveling generally with people or meeting people they know mm-hmm. in a context that's far away from home. And that of course opens doors of who is going to find out.
Right.
Like there's that, moniker of safety for those people for getting away with stuff.
Yeah.
That they do things that they wouldn't normally do.
Also, I think, a theme, and it's related to travel, but not so much just travel. A theme that I noticed was that they are distanced from their spouse. So even if they're not traveling, for instance, like with healthcare or financial, they're working crazy hours. There's not any predictability with their schedule. And so it's high pressure, high stress.
So wait, when we say high stress, just to make sense of this, and we'll make it maybe apply to your marriage in just a minute, but high stress, think about, oh my word, you know, somebody's bleeding out and I run to their aid and help them. And then someone else that maybe is fairly attractive comes over to you. You guys have a thing, but you're working together shoulder to shoulder on something that's stressful. Right. And there's help and there's empathy there. And maybe there's sadness and someone comes to your aid on that in that sadness and hears you out. And so there's so many opportunities for emotions.
Yes. High emotion
to be involved with the doing, you know, side by side. And then it could easily turn inward. So really when you're looking at this and thinking, well, this is not like my marriage, maybe you could see threads of how, you know, you need to protect your marriage. But, these do like what we're talking about gives you clues on how to keep your own marriage safe.
Right. Yeah. And so a related question, it'll be a little rabbit trail, but it's related to this concept, is should I have contact with my ex?
Hey guys, we're pausing this episode to tell you just why you should make Eros in Biloxi, Mississippi, a destination for your marriage this summer.
So we sent out a survey to everyone who went to Eros in January, and we asked the couples to rate the helpfulness of each topic discussed at the event. And to our surprise, you know which segment received the highest marks?
Our exegesis of certain passages of Song of Solomon.
Folks, we're all about keeping it biblical and spicy.
So on a serious note, there's not much training when it comes to the marriage bed. What's okay and what's not okay, and the godly permission to spark that playfulness in your sex life again.
Needless to say, this is a segment that we'll definitely keep in the lineup for the next two stops on the Eros tour.
Listen to what Eric and Rachel said about Eros.
This has quite literally transformed our marriage. The in-person experience gave us time to focus and surrounded us with a community of like-minded couples on a mission to make positive change. Adam and Carissa have saved us, giving advice on working through struggles of our past and practical steps for a successful relationship for the future. I honestly can't say enough about how this has changed how we think and interact on a daily basis. Anyone thinking of attending Eros, I would highly encourage you to go. If you value your marriage in the least bit, take steps to make it great. Eric and Rachel, such sweet and real feedback.
Yeah, thank you guys. So come and join us on the Gulf Coast in just a couple months. It's Biloxi, Mississippi on June 21st and 22nd, or in Houston, Texas, November 1st and 2nd.
Go to DearYoungMarriedCouple.com/Eros or hit the link in the show notes to register today. You'll be one step closer to a more adventurous and intimately connected marriage.
And we'll see you guys soon.
And I bring it up right now because we're talking about how to keep your marriage safe. And one of the answers that is going to, it's going to be the answer to the professions thread, but also this, should I have contact with my ex thread? And that question is, you know, how do I affair proof my marriage? The answer is you have to prioritize your spouse regardless. So if your spouse has an opinion on this, their opinion goes.
So when that spouse says, you know, I feel uncomfortable with that person, very rarely does the other person, they kind of feel judged and like you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And they generally, from what I've, when I've worked with people here, they're normally kind of defensive. Like, well, nothing's happened and there is just them. Like they're fine. They're just a friend. It's a minimization, which does not make the other person, the spouse, feel safe.
Right. Yeah. You have to be willing to be humble. And prioritize your marriage. So if your spouse has an opinion, or even if it's their insecurity, you know, and they're expressing this to you that they don't want you talking to that person, that they feel uncomfortable with the way you interact with that person. Well, if your spouse is expressing that, even if it's their insecurity, their opinion goes.
Yeah. And here's kind of where we're coming from. The first priority is your spouse. You know that marriage lasts a long time. God created marriage designed it to last a lifetime. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And inside of that marriage, there are highs and lows.
That's right.
There are highs of wonder and excitement and, you know, having a new baby. And but then the lows of, I haven't slept for 3 days and this is frustrating. And my kid got sent home from school because he was hitting or biting or, you know, like the stress between, you know, spouses with just frustration and differences. So inside of that, like, God has created marriage to kind of a union to work through all those things.
Right.
But if you bring in outlets or different people where you can, you know, just call someone else for emotional support or talk to someone else for emotional support other than your spouse, you start to build an emotional bond with that person.
Yeah, even with no ill intent. And that's the main point we want to drive home. Nobody says, I think I'm going to go have an affair on Saturday. Like, you don't just decide to have an affair. You fall into an affair. Right. Yes, they are decisions that you make along the way, but it's generally gradual. The couples we've worked with, they say that, like, I didn't intend for it to be sexual, or
I didn't think it was going to go this way.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to go this far, or we were just friends, or
it just happened.
Yeah. It just happened. They were just a good listener. But you have to be intentional about affair-proofing your marriage. And the main umbrella advice that we're going to give you today is you have to prioritize your spouse and their opinions and desires.
And here's the thing too, your spouse might not know these people.
Sure. Yeah.
But she might notice your distance or your preoccupation with work. Mm-hmm. Or she might notice, or he might notice just that slower desire or quicker temper. And I think what's really necessary here is that people get really real with how they feel about the person that they're thinking about, like those, the people on the job. How are you really feeling? Is there attraction there? Mm-hmm. You might lie to yourself and say no, but everyone kind of knows, oh, they are attractive.
Even if you don't find them physically attractive, do you find yourself in conversation with them and, you know, venting to them, even if it's not about your spouse yet? Because that's usually where it goes eventually. But maybe you're just venting to them about life or about your kids or, you know, something stressful that happened or a loss in your life. And there's nothing categorically wrong about sharing with colleagues, you know, that you know, that your grandma died. Like, there's nothing categorically wrong with that. But do you find yourself gravitating to the same person over and over and over and having this relationship with them that's technically innocent? Because that's how affairs start.
And for the vast majority of people, they step back and say, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just doing my job and I can't help that they're there.
Right.
And yet they maybe are a little bit flirtatious.
Sure.
It's, and it starts with just friendship. It starts with just genuine kindness, really. Because that's how all relationships start. Mm-hmm. That's how you probably met your wife or your husband. It starts with just kindness and maybe just a little attraction, that feeling in your body, you get like, okay, wow, you know, they're, and they like me maybe, you know, and as people share like just about the job, and then what happens is as that relationship's built, comfortable, and the people get comfortable, they start sharing about themselves. And then in those downturns in their marriage where things get difficult or there are frustrations or misunderstandings, a lot of times people bring their marriage in and there's now a comforting ear by someone they're attracted to and things progress from there. And then there's lies and cover up. And then generally people don't want to talk about that. They feel like they need to tell, but they feel shame around it. So they hold it in. And that is a gigantic sign. When that feeling is like, I can't tell my wife about this person. She'll question me and ask all these questions and I'll hold it back from her.
And that's really the litmus test is, do you feel comfortable including your spouse on every interaction you have with that person? If the answer is no, then something's amiss.
Right. Right. So really allowing your conscience to trigger that conversation.
Or your Holy Ghost.
There you go. The Holy Ghost. But to you know, give you that confidence to talk about it or to address it with your spouse. Hey, I've noticed that you're a little bit familiar with that person that I noticed over there. And who is that?
Right. So as this relates to exes, and we're not talking about people you were married to before, most of the time the challenge with someone you were married to before becomes like staying positive with that person for the sake of co-parenting. So we're not addressing that necessarily. We're just saying as someone you dated before. Okay. So is it appropriate to have a relationship with someone you dated before? Let's dive into that one.
Okay. So is it appropriate? I would say no.
That's our blanket answer.
In a very, very short answer there. No. Because for what reason?
Right.
You know, there, I can't think of many reasons why you should let a person into your life. Really, like,
Because you obviously had that attraction with them, you know, before you had a relationship, even if it wasn't sexual, maybe it was like when you were teenagers and you weren't sexual necessarily, but you were attracted.
Right. And so I just like, you know, oh, well, I connected with her on Facebook. Well,
why
does your wife know?
Right.
Like, have you guys talked about this? Are you both comfortable with this? Like there isn't a, I would say like a virtuous reason you could say, well, I'm just being kind. Well, you know, you may respect your marriage enough to not be kind in that way.
Yeah. So let's talk about the very few circumstances where you might have a relationship with an ex. And by ex, we're using that term broadly, but it could apply to a lot of types of relationship.
Oh, what about like when I had a previous relationship with somebody and then we, you know, that ended, we're in the, maybe the same church, but then I became friends with her husband.
Sure. I think that's the most common, especially in church circles, whether you're in the same church or the same organization or churches that fellowship together, you're going to see that person.
Yep.
So you'll see them at church or you'll see them at events or conferences. And what's appropriate connection with that person when you do see them?
Yes. So being very careful.
Right.
And, so like not having rigid boundaries in the sense that no connection, never, they can't come over as a couple. We can't ever talk as a couple, like, mm-hmm. you know, couple to couple, like that would be rigid. Porous boundaries would be, yeah, stop by whenever, you know, like,
right.
well, you don't want someone talking to your spouse by themselves, you
right.
know, like one-on-one, even if they're your best friend.
But a healthy boundary says, what's the purpose of the relationship?
Yep.
And if it serves us as a couple to have a relationship with this person or this other couple, say they're married, then the healthy boundary says, then we will always be in connection with our spouses.
Right.
So we'll never be texting each other one-on-one, even if it's for a, you know, logistic purpose.
If it's couple to couple relationship, then mm-hmm. it stays couple to couple relationship always.
That's right.
So there's a group chat. Mm-hmm. If there's any talking,
yeah,
that's really, really important to establish, because what you want to create in your marriage is safety.
Yeah,
the essence of trust is really can be boiled down to the question: are you there for me?
Mm-hmm.
And if in those hard times that come up, of course, insecurities pop up with those hard times,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want your spouse looking around and saying, you know, your best friend. I don't trust his wife or
right.
her wife, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
or her, sorry, his wife.
Yes.
So this is just a cautionary like talk of mm-hmm. you know, have this discussion with your spouse. Maybe listen to this episode. This could avoid a lot of years of pain.
Yeah.
If you can get this now and establish healthy boundaries of expectations. Hey, you know, I don't want you texting any males, talking to my wife here, you're
yeah.
like, I don't want you texting any males unless I'm on the text.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a big thing to ask.
And that's a boundary we have in our marriage. So anytime we are texting someone of the opposite sex, we include each other.
You know what? Let's talk about ministry, because
yeah.
this is a big thing too, because, well, you know, my wife doesn't want to be in on every single thing
mm-hmm.
that I talk to with other people of the opposite sex, or does she?
That's the question people have. But if you want to stay above reproach and be wise as a serpent and subtle as a dove, you need to consider your spouse's preference and just staying in a position that you couldn't even be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your spouse is always on that text, even if it seems overdone, like, why did you include your spouse? This has nothing to do with your spouse. Well, you are one. So
yeah,
it's okay to include your spouse, even if you think the other person might think it's silly.
Yeah. Actually, a while back, Carissa noticed that I was discipling a person that was new to church. She was very intelligent, came from a very intelligent family, and had some deep questions about our faith.
And she was very keen on like apologetics, and Adam is an apologist. And so her questions weren't just your basic Bible study questions.
So she wouldn't go to other people, in other words,
yeah.
for those questions to be answered.
And it made sense for Adam to answer those questions. But what I noticed is that it was often, you know, after church, you know, people were around, but it was like one-on-one conversations. And
anybody that knows me too, I always talk in long conversations.
He does. And so obviously I didn't suspect anything that was, you know, inappropriate, but I just let him know, hey, it looks this way. Like we have to be careful about how it looks. And it could have been some of my insecurity too, of like, you know, they're sparring or having these like deep conversations about yeah. faith and things that matter. And I want to be part of that.
But it doesn't matter, honestly, if it's her insecurity
right.
or a boundary being crossed.
Right.
Or getting close to being crossed.
Yeah.
Like, I think going back to that first principle, I'm protecting the feeling or her safety in our marriage, our connection.
Yeah.
And so I'm not willing for anyone to step outside that or damage that in any way. Especially, can you imagine how she would react if I had an attitude with that? Well, I am doing the will of God. I'm doing, no, you need to get it out. Like, then now I'm not taking influence, mm-hmm. and I am putting her needs under my own view, like, or well, how I see things.
I think ultimately you have to ask the question, does your spouse matter more, or does your quote unquote ministerial endeavor matter more?
Yeah.
And that's a hard question, because a lot of people see their calling, they put their calling in high regard, and rightly so. You should put your calling in high regard, but not above your spouse.
Right.
It's a reality pill to swallow that if your spouse is not okay with something you're doing, the way you're doing ministry, or the way you're talking to the people you're ministering to, then your spouse's opinion goes. Yeah. That's what matters most.
Right. Well, the person that I have a covenant with, mm-hmm. is my wife.
Right.
So that's something that we've worked. We didn't have to work through it, but that's something that's happened in our marriage that we were thinking about, talking about this, like, hey, we could share this because this is an example of she feeling uncomfortable and us talking through it and be like, okay, yeah, I can make those changes. And we went along our merry way. But the thing is a lot of times this isn't how it works.
Right. People get defensive.
Yeah. It's so easy to get defensive because, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, I'm doing everything right. Like, I should be helping this person, and this is the will of God. And like, why are you feeling this way?
Yeah.
And I just encourage, if this conversation that we're having together brings stuff up for you, we just caution you to go slowly, pad your conversation a little bit. Like, hey, I'm not really triggered over this, but I've noticed this,
if you're going to
take this well,
approach your spouse about something. Yeah. Pad the conversation, listen to the episode together and talk about how it applies to your marriage. On the note of ministry too, it made me think of, how similar it is to some of the industries we talked about earlier, like with healthcare or aviation. Like, a lot of ministers are traveling, sometimes solo. Even if they're not traveling, they're working crazy hours, late nights. They're at the church. They're going into people's homes, and even
or at the church counseling.
Right. And even if it's not sexual, you develop relationships with people that are intimate. And if your spouse is not a part of that, or let's say you're counseling someone one-on-two, like as a minister, if you're talking to a couple, like, you need to make sure that their spouse is a part of that.
Well, there's safety and a power differential.
True.
I mean, we've worked in these industries too.
Yep.
So have these conversations. These aren't just obvious to everyone, and address where you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think that's most important. It takes vulnerability. It takes humility.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely necessary, just for the safety and the vitality of your marriage.
That's right. Because boundaries in marriage, it's not about control, but it's about establishing those healthy limits and really fostering the intimacy and the connection between you and your spouse. So when you set boundaries, or if your spouse is setting a boundary with you, recognize that this is not about control. It's setting that limit so that we can protect our marriage and foster that healthy intimacy and connection.
Right. And if there's always that, that sparring over that line, there will always be a unsettledness to your marriage.
Oh, like if there's resistance with your spouse setting it.
But if you can willingly agree on it and both uphold it, then there'll be so much more understanding just trust there. I think trust is so necessary when you guys are doing big things. So I hope this conversation is helpful for you and gives you a chance to discuss this. This is really important, this conversation to have.
So have this conversation openly and with humility.
And with love.
That's
right. Gentleness.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, friends. We really hope that today's conversation was beneficial for you. if you're wanting some help, some individual or couples counseling to help with broken trust in your marriage, this is a very difficult problem to solve by yourself. We'd love to come alongside you and help you through this process. Just reach out, give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward healing. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us there in conversation. All right, see you next week.